Well, thank you to our dramatist for a fabulous performance. I hope this light's not too revealing. I'm not 40 Okay, so they've left us with this question ringing in our ears, haven't they? Have you seen this baby? And that's a great question to be asking ourselves at this Christmas time, isn't it? Have we truly seen this baby? I haven't got the clicker. Could I have the clicker, please? Thank you, Naomi. Doing a great job there. I want to bring another baby on the screen in a moment. She's a busy girl. We're keeping her very stretched tonight. Lovely. Have any of you seen this baby? I was going to say, nobody has seen this baby tonight, but my sister unexpectedly turned up. Do you recognize this baby, Dawn? It's me. This is me. This is slightly anxious looking me, but this is me. This was 52 years ago. Now, so if I say to you, have you seen this baby? What's your answer? Well, you might say, well, no, but yes, in a sense, because I see you, yeah? And I understand that. But if you think about it, those people who first saw me as a baby, did they really see the 52-year-old me? You know, did they see who I would become, what I would do, how I would speak and so on? No, they didn't. And so there is a sense in which a baby is a beginning of a story, yeah? The baby is the beginning of the story. Now, here's my wallet with two pictures inside it of my girls, because I'm obviously a very proud father. There is one problem with this picture, and that is that it's 8 years old. So when this was taken, Petra was 6 and Tia was 4. Now, but it's still there. Now, they might quite rightly come up to me and say, hey, Dad, do you know what? Why are you carrying those old pictures of us in your wallet? We don't look like that anymore. We've changed. Are you in denial about us being teenagers? And they'd have a point, not about the denial part, but they'd have a point, wouldn't they? And what I'm trying to... the question I want to ask us is, I wonder if we have a bit of a frozen image of Jesus, if our Jesus is a bit of a Peter Pan who never grew up. Now, we know that our culture has been hugely shaped by the Christian faith. But as you know, our Christian heritage is disappearing quite quickly. Now, I remember early in my life that Easter and Christmas both, to me, felt they had national significance religiously. Not in terms of bunnies and eggs, but religiously they had national significance. But I think that has declined, and particularly for Easter. And I think in some ways our culture now is left with the nativity. And in a sense, if you like, in our cultural wallet, we got this picture of a baby Jesus. And this worries me. And the reason it worries me is because if all we know about is the birth of Jesus and nothing else, then I think the whole story sounds, frankly, unbelievable. And it sounds incomplete and inadequate. And, you know, when you think of the story, why should we believe this stuff? Why should we believe the witness of a few shepherds who, even in their own terms, couldn't be trusted? Shepherds couldn't even give witness in court. Why should we believe the witness of a few wise men who came from the east and then went back to the east and no one can find them for love nor money? Why would we believe the witness of Mary and Joseph? So if we take it in isolation, then I think the story sounds unbelievable. But of course, the Christmas story is the beginning of a story. That baby is the beginning. And for me, what the Christmas story does is it says to us, this baby is special, just wait and see. This baby is special, just wait and see. And then Jesus went on and grew up and had amazing teaching and performed wonders and signs and miracles. And then he died and was raised from death. And it was in the context of that whole life that those early believers could look back and say, ah, the birth makes sense of the life. And the life makes sense of the birth. They have to come together. Now, when we consider each of the people in the Nativity story, those first witnesses, we realize that they were each of them given a sign so they could have confidence in what they were being told. The sign for Mary was the virginal conception. The angel Gabriel told Mary she'd bear a son, and she said, well, it's not possible because I'm a virgin. It's not possible for me to have a child. But Gabriel said that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, so the one born to her would be called Son of God. And to fulfill this wonderful prophecy from Isaiah 7, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay, so from the very beginning, there is something different about this child. This child, the likes of this child, has never been seen before and never will be seen after. Utterly unique. The wise men had the sign of the star. They followed it all the way from the east to Palestine. We saw his star, they said to Herod, when it rose, and have come to worship him. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Okay, so there was something cosmic about this baby. But not just cosmic, there was also something very humble about this baby, because we go from the star to the manger, the animal's feeding trough. The angel said to the shepherds, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So these were the signs, okay? But what do they point to? Well, I think they point to two fundamental truths about this child. And they are these. This child is a son, and this child is a savior. A son and a savior. And we're not told these truths from Mary or Joseph or the wise men or the shepherds. We are told these truths by the angels. This is the witness of heaven itself. Here are the words that the angel said to Mary. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So she's giving birth to a son. Whose son is it? It's the Son of the Most High. The Son of God, in other words. So Jesus is born of Mary, but he is conceived by the Holy Spirit. In him, deity and humanity are perfectly intertwined. Okay? Here are the words of the angel to Joseph. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That name Jesus that was given by heaven itself means, literally, God saves, or the Lord is salvation. Jesus saves. You might say, well, I don't think I need saving from anything, but the Bible says we do. We need saving from ourselves, actually. We need a forgiveness which Jesus came to freely offer to us through his death on the cross. So he's a savior. And here are the words of the angel to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. Now I want to ask you a question. If we had all this nativity story, but then if Jesus had grown up and lived an ordinary and unexceptional life, yeah? What would have happened to this story? And I believe I'm correct, and I hope you agree, that this story would be lost in history. Because if Jesus had grown up to just live a normal, regular life, then these words would have been proved to be profoundly untrue. But the exact opposite happened. He grew up, and he began to teach and heal and forgive. And he spoke about a relationship with the God who made us and loved us being possible through his death and his resurrection. And it is because of these, that this story we're celebrating this evening has significance. You know, maybe this is what needs to be in our wallet as well. Jesus, if he died and that was the end, that would have been the end of the Christian faith. But he rose, and as he rose, so there arose a worldwide faith and religion, which today has over 2 billion adherents. So have you seen this baby? Well, you know what? I'm sure you all know the nativity story inside out. Hands up if you've ever been Mary in a nativity. We've had any, Liz, yeah? Had any Marys, any Josephs? Any shepherds in the room? Right. Wise men? Sheep? Yeah. And others. Some very bizarre. We don't just know the story, we've acted in the story, okay? But the question is, have we truly seen? Have we truly grasped this story that we've been part of? Albeit at primary school, we've been part of it. You know, we have to understand this baby in the light of the life that he lived, the death that he died, and the grave that he conquered. I want to finish with that final verse, actually, from Cecily's poem. Tell me, dear people, what do you see? I see an old story for children to hear. I see an excuse for some presents and beer. I see a tradition that we've all outgrown. I see a sad time of old age alone. Tell him, my heart, what do you see? I see a baby born to save me. I'm going to reflect on this wonderful story that we're celebrating by listening to Lydia, Susie, Breeze, and Jane. They're going to sing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah to Christmas lyrics by Caleb and Kelsey. So, perhaps you turn the light on.